I want to present to you a way, a technique, by no means the only way, possibly not the best way, but a tested and very practical way of ministering in the health fields, but it will also be useful in other aspects of life. Next slide. Now imagine the Great Commission being fulfilled in our lifetime. That is the dream, that is the desire of every believer. And it can happen. It can happen in your lifetime. And I want you to take note of the fact that globally, we have about 7.1 billion people in the world right now. And there are about 4.7 who are clearly not Christian. Amen. And that brings with us a huge opportunity to take the word of God. You know, Jesus said it is when this gospel of the kingdom is preached in all the world that the end will come. And Revelation 7:10 makes us realize that out of every tongue, every tribe, every kindred, there will be representatives before the throne of the Lamb. And how can they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And today, you are being sent in Jesus' name. Now, every week, more people walk through the doors of hospitals than through the doors of churches. That is one thing that is true. The growth rate of this church, notwithstanding, walk down to the emergency room, walk down to the outpatient clinics, and you see the huge turnover of people that you get. How many Muslims have you seen coming to service in the last 5 years? If you have seen one coming to this service in the last 5 years, can I see your hand? Okay. Those of you who work in the teaching hospital, how many Muslims have you attended to in the past 1 year? If you have attended to even one, can I see your hand? Okay, you can see there are at least 10 hands here who in the past 1 year have attended to a Muslim. I also have. And with the Muslim came his people. So you find that in the work in the hospital, not only do you have more people coming, you have the ethnicities, the unreached ethnicities coming to you. You have, as well as the unreached ethnicities, you have the different age groups coming to you. The prostitutes will come. The wealthy will come. The educated will come. And the illiterate will come. So we want to be like those four men in this saline process. It's a partnership. We want to be like those four men who lowered the patient to see Jesus. Amen? Yeah, so that's what this teaching is all about. And this teaching is a partnership that has come through the International Health Services Global. It's a partnership with CMDA, Nurses Christian Fellowship, HCF, Evangelical Medical Fellowship in India, CMDF of Australia, Ukraine Medical Outreach, IHS Hungary. It's a global partnership. And we want to share this vision with the aim of fulfilling the Great Commission in our lifetime. Don't think that is too huge a goal. In Acts of the Apostles, Paul of Tarsus was in the school of Tyrannus, in one school. And in that school of Tyrannus, he reasoned with people daily. Do you know that from that reasoning with people daily in the school, in 2 years, all the people in the province of Asia had come to hear the gospel? So imagine the reach if all those that come to you in your business, all those that come to you as a teacher, and those that pass through you as a health worker were to hear the gospel persistently, you would, at the end of the day, have brought many to the knowledge of Christ. Amen. So the saline process is geared at evangelism training, internet follow-up for those who use the internet, mentoring and accountability, and multiplication. This is a taster. There will be a formal training that can happen later. Hallelujah. Even though this is designed for the health industry, please don't close your ears if you are not a health worker. The principles are very applicable across board. So we recognize that the healthcare profession is a privileged position to share the love of God with a humble heart and with respect for the patient. I want to turn our minds back to where we read the story of the Samaritan. So open your Bibles, please. Luke chapter 10. I want us to make a comparison very briefly. Luke chapter 10, I'll read from verse 34 to 36. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take good care of him. If you spend more than that, I'll repay you when I come back." Of these 3 men, who do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the bandits? And we all know the answer. The answer is who? The Samaritan. Thank you. A few questions. The answers are found in your Bible. Who do you think was more skillful in looking after ill people, the innkeeper or the Samaritan? More skillful, not loving, skillful. Innkeeper. Agreed, because you refer to someone who is more skillful than you are. Good. On that night, they arrived in the inn. Who looked after the man? The innkeeper or the Samaritan? That night they came to the inn. Who did? What? Look at your Bible. Look at your Bible. Verse 34. He went and bandaged his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. Then he put him in his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Who looked after him? Who looked after him? Thank you. Excellent students. Remember who Jesus said we should imitate. Next question. At what point does this skillful innkeeper begin to look after the patient? Another answer. When he was leaving. Any other answer? After the first aid. Luke 10:35. Can we read it together? The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take good care of him. If you spend more than that, I'll repay you when I come back. At what point does this skillful innkeeper begin to look after the patient? When he was paid. Skillful innkeeper gave them a room the night before and withheld his skills. Money's not there. Very skillful. Someone you refer to, but didn't touch the man until he said, oh, I'm sorry. I forgot that you need to be paid. Take this money. I know it may not be enough, but I beg. If you spend more, I'll look after him. And then the innkeeper gets ready and begins to look after him. This course is not for innkeepers. This course is for Samaritans. And may I remind you that it is not the innkeeper that Jesus said, do likewise. Are you an innkeeper? It's only when you are sure of your money that you begin to use your skills to save lives. If you are like that, this course is not for you. This course is for those who, like the Samaritan, are willing to spend and be spent. This Samaritan, did he get into debt for this man? Of course he went into debt. When you tell a professional, take this amount, and if you spend more, I will reimburse you. It means that he has entered into debt. A debt which he is not even sure how much it is. It is the Samaritan that Jesus said, go and do likewise. If in your professional practice you are like the innkeeper, you are not doing what Jesus said. Hoo ha! Let us proceed. So this course is for those who want to be witnesses in the workplace. We will look at small steps in the journey of an individual and how we can be involved in that process. People giving their lives to Jesus, they take small steps. Because of the different experiences they've had in life, we may need to cultivate, that is to build relationships where they can trust us. We need to sow, and that means we need to plant the Word of God in efficient and effective manners in their lives. And when they are ready to receive Jesus, we need to harvest them. And then train them to be disciples and disciple makers. That's the multiplication stage. Amen. We have spoken about where Jesus said in John chapter 4 that others labored and you have entered into their labors. The mother prayed and prayed and lived the life. And then when the child picks himself up in a different environment and listens to your program on the radio, you are entering into the labors of that mother. Amen? When you have shown your lifestyle to be godly and Christian, and your contemporary has seen the way you relate with patients, relate with your wife, relate with your family, and one day when he has a crash in his own household and everything breaks down, he says, I want the faith of Emeka. And he turns to his pastor. His pastor is entering into your own labors. Amen. So this course is to encourage us to cultivate, to sow, as well as to harvest. We will not only harvest, we will also rejoice when we are cultivating and sowing. Hallelujah. So in this course, 5 questions will be addressed. Can we take those 5 questions, read it out together? Why is faith important in healthcare? Question number 2, what are the opportunities and barriers to fulfilling God's call? Question 3, what is my part? And question 4, what other tools will help me cultivate and sow? Where do I go from here? So why is faith important in healthcare? Well, even science now agrees with it. But first of all, we know faith is important in healthcare because God has called us to be salt and light. God has said, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. And in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he said, you are my witnesses when the Holy Spirit is come upon you. Hallelujah. Best practices in medicine also show that it is true. And you will agree with me that most patients are open to discussing spiritual matters when they are in hospital. They are vulnerable to the spiritual. And we need to respectfully exploit that vulnerability to present the Word of God to them. Amen. I will want to do it in 3 ways: with sensitivity, with permission, and with respect. Can we say it together? With sensitivity, with permission, and with respect. You will present the gospel, but in these 3 ways. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 15 tells us that we should be ready to give an answer to anyone who will ask us why there is this faith in us, but we will do it with humility. Hallelujah. Tap your friend by your side, let her not fall asleep. Now, God has called us to be salt, and that means that we need to kind of lose ourselves in the mix. Salt brings out the taste in others. In food, you introduce salt not so that you can get the taste of salt, but so that you can enjoy the meat and other things. Is that not true? Right. So being salt is not all about you. It's all about Jesus. You are being introduced in the mix of the hospital so that people can get the taste of Christ. Amen. Now, if you want it to be all about you and you are so prominent, that's like 3% saline. If you inject 3% saline, that's not going to help anybody. Amen. Right. And Jesus hasn't called you simply to be sweet. You know, there are some people who are very professional. They can take care of your physical health challenges. They also address your emotional problems. Go so far as dealing with the issues in your home, but they do not introduce you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Your duty as a Christian health worker, your duty as a Christian lawyer, your duty as a Christian teacher goes beyond being sweet. Your duty includes deliberately planting the seeds of the Word of God in the lives of your clients. Amen. Please understand this. that the demand of God upon you is that as you get on with your business, you seek how to cultivate, how to sow, how to harvest, and how to be involved in the multiplication of disciples. So, question number two, what are the opportunities and the barriers that God has called us to? Remember, we said that we are supposed to be salt and we are supposed to be light. The active ingredient in this salt and light is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, the opportunity, we have said, is that these people come to you. As a lawyer, they pay to listen to you. As a teacher, they pay school fees to be under you for 3 years, 5 years, 6 years. As a lecturer, they plead with you to come and give lectures to them. As a doctor, they wait for you. Hallelujah. So that is a golden opportunity. But there are barriers. Barriers that maybe you don't know that this is what God wants me to do. You think that the time for evangelism should be 4 p.m., not 10 in the morning while I am chatting with a client that might pay me well. And so when he talks about dying, you say, well, I'll invite him to the meeting. And you fail to chip in a word. Hallelujah. So the problem might be that you don't know. Or you may say to yourself, I don't know how to pass this word across. Or for some of us, we say, I don't have time. Hallelujah. Whatever your own barriers are, I want you to take note of what might be called the patient barriers. So can we get to the micro decisions of faith? The next slide, please. The next one. Yeah, thank you. People are at different stages in their journey to knowing Christ. I'm not sure you can see every detail here, but this tries to give you a graphic description of where people are at different points in time. There are some people who simply are cynical or skeptical about the Word of God. So if you talk about God, they are not interested. You talk about Christ, they think you are a Jew man. Okay? They go their own way. They avoid the truth. They tell you that, look, the best dancers, the best musicians, they are all in hell. So why should I go to heaven? I want to go where there is enjoyment. You tell them about Ten Commandments. They say, look, that is a cake. You tell them the Bible. They said, which Bible? The Bible that is full of contradictions. And they'll point out to you one part of the Bible that says this and another part of the Bible that says something that apparently contradicts it. And tells you about the recent find about the gospel of Jesus' wife. And things like that which make you realize that this guy is just not ready for the gospel. Amen? So you need to recognize that there are some people at that stage. Forcing them to say sinner's prayer at that point in time is not going to get them born again. Hello? At that stage, I think what they need is to build bridges, cultivate. Let them know you. Let them trust you. Let them see you as a consistent person, someone they can trust, someone they can listen to. Hallelujah. Now, there are also some people who are called seekers. A seeker has reached a point where he is considering the truth of the Word of God. He recognizes the relevance of the Bible. There are people of other faiths who will read the Bible, but they are not yet ready for Christ. I had a lecturer who was ready to read the Bible. And he even said he doesn't mind asking Christ into his life But when I said that he will have to give up his gods, he was from India, he said no. So there are people who are seekers, amen? And there are people who are just saying, oh, when I get to church, I'll give my life to Christ. Hallelujah. People move at different rates, different paces. Some can move from being cynical overnight to being ready. Some can get trapped in one stage for quite a long time. Some can actually move further down depending on the way life has knocked them. We're introducing this in the hope that you will be able to evaluate the person you are reaching out to so as to know what he needs, what she needs. Amen? So that if you recognize that this person is at the point of harvesting, Paul looked at a man in Joppa, in Lydda, and saw that he had faith to be healed. And because he saw that, he immediately said to him, stand up on your feet. He evaluated him and recognized he was ready for harvesting. Amen? Aha. So this is to help you evaluate your patient spiritually so as to know what he needs. All people, no matter what level they are, no matter what stage they are at, need prayers. Hallelujah. Can you say, pray for your patient? Pray for your client. Yeah, so that's my part. First starts with prayer. Prayer that you will have opportunity, open doors. Prayer that the word of God, which is like a hammer, which is like a fire, which is living and active, sharper than every argument, will pierce their hearts. Prayer that they will understand. Prayer is so critical, and we need to pray. You have prayed about your ward visit. Please, if you have a prayer list, a prayer diary, put in that prayer diary prayer for people to repent. Amen? So the people you know, people that are around you, people that are your colleagues, remember to pray for them name by name that they will come to Christ. But for you, you need to exert spiritual influence. Amen? And exerting spiritual influence means that you must show Christ-like character. Can we say Christ-like character? Yes. These things are spiritual. Getting people to be born again is not getting people to be educated. It's a spiritual thing. And so Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Hallelujah. The first thing is that you must be filled with love. People tend to know the difference between a professional who is doing a good job and a professional who loves. Do you know something strange? People in the world who are not born again have done studies on how people get satisfied with healthcare services. Do you know something strange? The satisfaction of patient was not the professionalism of your giving the injection, but how much you were able to show empathy, show interaction. The love, that was what was more important. Hallelujah. Bankers have keyed in on this. They now have people who are manning your accounts. And one day, the lady manning my account called me. I said, what's wrong? What's happening? She said, no, nothing. I just want to check up on how you are. I said, hey, this is a huge indictment. I am a pastor. I haven't been calling my people. I hear someone calling me because she doesn't want me to move my account from UBA to somewhere else. Hallelujah. So you have to show love. Secondly, you have to be professionally competent. Amen. You have to be professionally competent. Let it not be that you inadvertently make mistakes that are avoidable and hurt the patient. Let it not be that when there is something wrong in the ward, it's because you were incompetent. Thirdly, you require compassion. And again, you require wise communication. Can we say wise communication? Sometimes, as a professional, we don't encourage you to say to a patient, look, this leg is gangrenous and we want to remove it right now so that you won't die. Eh? I don't know where you go if you die. That may not be very wise. It may be wiser to say the same thing in another way. This leg is quite bad. And if you look at it, you can see it's not the same as the other. Actually, it's no longer living. And if we leave it like that, it would take more and more of you with it. And we want you to continue living and staying with us. Eh? Can you think about it? We'd like you to give us permission because we want you to live. Have I said the same message to the same person? But the way one person says it is more abrasive, and the way the other person says it is much more gentle. Amen? So we need wise communication. Communicate wisely with your patients. Communicate wisely with your clients. And it requires courage. Occasionally, you may say, how will I, consultant plastic surgeon, begin talking Jesus to this person? You need courage. Sometimes you say, if I tell him about Christ, he may leave my service and I will lose the money. It requires courage. Hallelujah. If you are showing love, if you are communicating wisely, don't be scared that because of what you do, something bad will happen to you. God has spoken to us by prophecy today, saying, take your eyes off your challenges, put your eyes on Him. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Joshua 1:9, only be thou courageous. Can you say to your neighbor, be courageous? Turn to the other one and say also, be courageous. The people that you are going to meet are of a different mix, so you need to create a safe environment for them. Paul, when he was ministering to Jews, took time out in Acts chapter 13 to tell them from Scripture about the coming Messiah. And many of them believed. But in Acts chapter 17, he was talking to people who didn't know Scripture. He was talking to people who were idol worshippers. And you see there, Paul does not make one reference to the Scriptures, saying it is written in so and so part of the Bible. He looked for common ground. And interestingly, he found common ground in a shrine that had an inscription, the unknown God. So he picked up something that they were ready to accept and moved them to something that they didn't know. He started from the unknown God and said, because God is like this, you shouldn't think he is like silver or gold or, you know, an animal. And God will judge all men. And he has given this man, Jesus, that he will judge all men by, and given evidence by raising him from the dead. Hallelujah. So, size up the person who you are sowing the word of God in, and use safe grounds. There is nothing fantastic about my using Queen's English when I'm talking to an illiterate, my Queen's English will get in the way. Abi, you no know, say Jesus loves you. He won't make you enter heaven, no. Has that demeaned me and removed me from being chief consultant plastic surgeon? By no means. You should understand that you need to repent. If you don't repent, you're not going to enter into the kingdom of God. That will become a distraction. Amen? That will become a distraction. So we need to provide safe environment. Do you know that Muslims believe that Jesus, Prophet Isa, is going to come back to this world? Do you know that Muslims believe that it is He that is going to be used to judge? Quran has a lot of errors, but there are 1, 2, 3 points in the Quran you can identify with and from there begin to minister to the Muslim. Amen. I didn't say you are going to use the Quran and preach the gospel. I said that there are points you can identify with. Hallelujah. You see this thing again and again in scripture. In Titus, you remember Paul, by the Spirit, said, even of their own prophets have said, Cretans are always brutes, liars, slow bellies. This witness is true. It doesn't mean that those prophets are prophets that you should follow, but things that you can identify with, standing on safe ground, what they can handle, and from there, move them to where you need them to go. Hallelujah. I say provide safe ground. Use words people can understand. And give opportunity for questions and discussion. It's not when he wants to stop you, say, no, let me finish first. Amen. It's not a lecture. When I'm giving lectures, I say, wait, at the end, I'll give you time for question. But if he wants to interrupt you, by all means, listen. Hallelujah. By all means, do what? Listen. When you have finished, challenge them in this way. Wouldn't you want to respond to Jesus? I want to emphasize that we are introducing men to Christ. My church is an excellent place for people to be discipled. But actually, I'm introducing men to who? Christ. Introducing men to who? Right. So the challenge is to respond to Christ. So the 8 tools that we are mentioning is prayer. Sometimes you may ask pointed questions. A man might say, I don't die, yo. And then you say, if you die, do you know where you will go? And drop it. That question can go very far. I couldn't help myself. I just slapped her. Say, why is it that you, as learned as you are, find that you can't help yourself, but you keep doing things you know is wrong? And drop that question. I once was hosted by a woman in whose lab there was a Nobel Prize winner. So they were really up there in science. And she was sharing with me how a man, because she was a woman, resisted the findings of her research on macrolides. And I said, so even the best scientific minds still do what is wrong. And dropped it at that. So she could begin to remove her faith from science and realize that human beings are in, inborn sinful. Hallelujah. Learn to take a spiritual history. Learn to do what? Spiritual history. Spiritual history has to do with sizing him up or her up to know where he or she is at the point in faith. As a doctor, you take a history. You are very, very free to ask one or two questions. Oh, I can see that you are not listed as having a religion. Is there something that gives you confidence during this your time of ill health? Is there something that you believe can help you? Probing questions. You say that you're a member of Kingdom of God Lifeway. What is it about this Kingdom of God Lifeway that gives you confidence in this your ill health? So that you know whether the person has a confidence in church or confidence in Christ. Amen? The Holy Spirit will help you, but try and take a spiritual history. These things are not things that you must do in one sitting. You can ask a question in this sitting and at another opportunity, take bits of spiritual history. Hallelujah. And one of the beautiful ways is telling stories. People may argue about processes, but who can argue with your testimony? You can simply give your own testimony. And this is one place where God is at work in the full gospel. Share your testimony. I had this kind of problem you are now facing. And I honestly thought I had come to the end of the road. But I got introduced to someone who changed my life. And that person is Jesus. Ever since I have met him, these things have stopped. This is what is going on. Would you like to know this Jesus better? Hallelujah. You can also share the testimony of somebody else. We have tracts that are available. You can place tracts. You can refer them to things that are going to help them. That is truth prescription. Or you could also refer to other people. Hallelujah. That is referring to other people. I won't want to talk much about faith flags or that, but let me just say that if you get to faith stories, a faith story should fit as a natural part of the conversation and should connect to the patient's situation. People say it shouldn't take more than 2 minutes because you want it to flow. Hallelujah. It can be something that you summarize. It should relate to what God is doing, and it should provide a glimpse of what it is like to be God's child. You can practice doing that. Hallelujah. Remember, regulate the dosage, ask questions, proceed at God's pace. Ask permission to speak further. We want to be sure that when the person says, I want to give my life to Christ, that he is doing it sincerely. Hallelujah. We want to be sure that he is doing it sincerely. Occasionally, you may need to hand him or her over. When I had time with a Muslim and finished treating him, I recognized a brother whose ministry is quite good when it comes to interfaith. So I actually delayed his discharge a little and got him introduced to that brother and made sure that the brother and I were together so that the brother said, ah, I know about you. Okay, I will come and I will visit you. Hallelujah. Some people will be at the point where when you have preached to them and you say, would you want to give your heart to Jesus, do you realize that you are a sinner? And then you ask them, do you want us to pray now or later? I know that we all want people to pray and pray immediately. But when someone says to you, I want to pray now, I think that person is readier than the person who says, I want to think about it. I say, no, let's pray now. Do you get what I'm saying? Aha. Because we have a lot of Christianese going on, which we need to correct. Christianese is a lot of spiritual language, which means nothing. People who know how to say praise the Lord. You know, a lot of comedy people now know how to say the Christian language. If you are in buses, sometimes when they come, you first of all think this person wants to preach. But by the time he deviates, you say to yourself, oh my God, I thought this was a Christian. Why? Because he's speaking Christianese. We want to reduce that to the barest minimum. So that we have people who, when they say, I'm giving my life to Christ, they mean it with all sincerity. This is where we're going to stop. Little skill impartation. But where do I go from here? Will you want to take spiritual history? Will you want to pray for your patients? Will you want to sow? Will you want to cultivate relationships? Will you be patient with the process God is doing? And will you be a harvester for the kingdom of God? The scripture says, be not hearers of the word only, but be doers. But perhaps the first question I want to ask is, are you an innkeeper or are you a Samaritan? Let us pray.
Are you an innkeeper or a Samaritan? We have just heard the gospel. We've heard the message from God. And many of us, obviously, are willing to respond. To respond to be a Samaritan. One who is ready to go all the way. Even to go into depth just to show love. But you know what? You can't go all the way except you are truly born again. Except you have given your life to Christ. And so, brother, sister, today indeed is another day. Would you want to give your life to Christ? This is an opportunity for you. If you want to give your life to Christ, just say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came to the world even for my sake, suffered for my sake, died for my sake. Lord, I agree that I am a sinner. Thank you, Father, even for coming for me. I receive you into my life as my Lord and personal Savior. In Jesus' name. If you said that prayer, just raise your hands and indicate, so that I will also pray with you, Father. If you said that prayer, please just raise your hands. In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, Eternal King, Father, we thank you indeed for these our brethren who have heard the call and they have responded to it. They have chosen today as a day to give their lives back to you, even as you gave your life for them. Lord, may you come into their lives this very minute. Take control of everything that concerns them. Remove the old garment and give them a new garment. Put your Holy Spirit in them, Father, that all that they shall continue to do from today, Father, shall be that which you desire. They shall be Samaritans for you. They shall go all the way for you. So that on the last day, Father, when the book is opened, the book of life, their names will be found written on it. In Jesus' name we have prayed. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Church, we are still praying. Talk to the Lord concerning your life. You've already given God your life. You've given Christ your life. But ask yourself, are you a Samaritan or are you just an innkeeper? Tell the Lord that today you repent of not having done enough for Him. Tell Him that you are ready to be used of Him. And so, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks even for your word that has come forth. Thank you, Father, for reminding us of the need even to go all the way out for our neighbors just for your sake, for our brothers and sisters just for your sake. Thank you, Father, because we know that you are well and able to equip us even for this job. Thank you, Jesus, for answering our prayers, because we have prayed in Jesus' name.